Scripture reading this morning comes to us from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1, and then we jump over to verse 13 and read through verse 26. If you'd like to follow along, page 190 in your pew Bibles. Listen to the Word of God. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. May the same God who inspired these words incline our hearts and our minds to their understanding. Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we are at the four-week mark of our Living the Gospel series, which, as we've been talking about, is based on the work done by Kent Carlson and Mike Lucan. And the series has been exploring the questions, what are the essential characteristics of a life with God? Or to put it another way, how might we as Christians live Christianly? How do we live out the gospel that we believe in and live with? The first 3 weeks are pretty much summed up in the essence there in your sermon notes that are published for you again. And yes, I filled in the blanks for you from last week. You're welcome. As well as correcting that very nasty typo from last week. Regarding serving Jesus and how it is not supposed to suck the life out of us. So this morning I want to invite you to think with me about the fourth attribute of someone living a life with God, and that is this, that we show the fruit of the Spirit. And as has been our habit over the last 3 weeks, let's read together what Carlson and Lucan put together in their spiritual formation brochure for this particular attribute of people walking with God. Let's read that together. We become more loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. Our desires are more in line with His desires. What we do with our time, how we spend our money, how we function in our relationships, gently change. As we become God's temple, what we take into ourselves through our thoughts, eyes, ears, and mouth gradually change. This process is attractive and redemptive to us and to those around us. I love the way these guys write. I think that is so great. It just totally consolidates this notion of what it means to be showing the fruit of the Spirit. So people living a life with God will really be paying attention to the contrast between the desires of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And we will more and more show the fruits of the Spirit in our lives in such a way that what is happening is attractive to the people around us. And as those people are attracted to us, their very lives can be transformed because of how we are being loving and joyful and patient and kind and good and faithful and gentle and self-controlled. And as one could expect, as the foundation of this attribute of faithful disciples who are walking with God, we are looking this morning at this passage in Galatians where the Apostle Paul names those nine fruits of the Spirit very concisely. And he places them in the passage that we read from this morning, obviously, in very stark contrast to the desires or the works of the flesh, as he calls them. And he makes the point that if indeed the Spirit of Christ is alive and well in us, then these things, these fruits, will be more and more visible in our living and in the way we relate to others and live our lives. And that, by the way, was a very particular and important message that the Galatian church back in the day really needed to hear. Most of your study Bibles will make the observation of the fact that Paul's central theme, his central focus in Galatians, in this letter of six jam-packed chapters, is freedom. And in particular, what it means to be free in Christ. The editors of my Oxford Annotated Bible are out of the gate in their introduction to this letter by saying, often called the Magna Carta of Christian freedom, the letter to the Galatians deals with the question whether Gentiles must become Jews before they can become Christians. You see, apparently, similarly to what was happening in the church at Colossae, apparently certain teachers had infiltrated the church that Paul had established there in Galatia and declared in Paul's absence that in addition to being Christian, in addition to having faith in Christ, a Christian was also supposed to be Jewish. They were also supposed to be obedient to the Mosaic law as good Jewish people are. And Paul pretty much rants and raves throughout the entire letter that a person becomes right with God only by faith in Christ, which is a free gift of God's good grace. We are saved by faith alone through grace, not by the performance of good works or keeping a good moral character or certain things that we do. And because that was so back in that day, it still stands for us as people of faith that, as Scott Hootsey illustrates, if you think your salvation consists in part because of what you do, even if you think your morality contributes something like 0.3 of 1 percentage point, Paul would be furious with us as well. It's all Christ, he says in this letter. 100%, 300%, 1,000,000%. It is all Christ's amazing grace. Jesus was crucified for us, for heaven's sake. If that doesn't tell you how dependent you are on God, nothing will. Nevertheless, before this same letter is finished, Tozzi says, Paul waxes on eloquently about the need to nurture the fruit of the Spirit. Grace never saves us into a vacuum. That is a great thought. Grace never saves us into a vacuum. Grace never saves us, in other words, merely from something, our sinfulness, but always for something as well. See, there is this paradox in the Christian faith that goes something like this. We are the most free, even though it doesn't sound like it. We are the most free when we are slaves to Christ. When we are surrendered to Jesus and His way of life that is known and experienced by the power of the Spirit. That is when we are the freest. And that thought about being a slave to Christ, sometimes I think doesn't sit too easily with us who live in the good old US of A. Because we love our freedom. And we should. And we celebrate it in big ways, especially on the 4th of July, right? With big slabs of barbecue beef and lots of beer and fireworks that are over the top. We love to celebrate our freedom. And because we love our freedom so much and know that we have it on so many levels, we often think that our inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness means that we can do whatever we darn well please at any point in time. And so what we do with our time and how we spend our money and how we function in our relationships is nobody's business but our own. And our desires really, really only need to be in line with Wall Street and the media and what it means to keep up with people around us. But as one unknown commentator put it, Paul's caution to the Galatians, and I believe across the centuries, caution to us. Paul's caution to the Galatians reminds us that sometimes our greatest liberation can be found in our commitments to love and serve others, and our community and neighbors and those around us, and especially to love those that nobody loves. So grace never saves us into a vacuum. It never saves us merely from something, but always for something else. Get it? Good. And in this particular letter, Paul is concerned that we know that we are saved by faith through grace for the purposes of showing the fruit of the Spirit. So you ready for your assignment? This is a variation on a theme of our small group's little project that actually took about 18 weeks. So in your bulletins, there's a little square that has the fruits of the Spirit listed. Everybody find that, please. Dig it out. You got it? Hold them up. Let's see them. Beautiful. So you should know that Kathy Faber Langenhoon, for our small group, searched Google Images. And this was a huge search. Believe me, if you've gone on Google Images and looked for things, it's amazing what you find on there. This was something that Kathy shared with our small group once we started our study on fruits of the Spirit. And the thought was that we would take this little document, mine, by the way, is still taped to my desk in my office here, that we would take this document and we would put it in a place where we're going to put our eyes on it several times a day. Whether that's the mirror in your bathroom, or whether it's in your Bible, or on the dashboard of your car, or someplace where your eyes are going to see it at least two or three times a day. And the thought was in our small group that we met every 2 weeks. So each week we would focus on one of these fruits of the Spirit. So let's say love. So during the course of 2 weeks in between when we met, we would pray for how God would lead us to show this particular fruit. Is there someone we can love? Something we can do to show love in a very profound way, a very simple way, in some way at all? And also to pray that we would be open in our minds to where we are experiencing that fruit of the Spirit. How is someone showing love to us? And then we would get together in between, after the 2 weeks, and we'd say, okay, who has a story to share? How did you show love? How did you experience love? And so on and so forth. So what I want you to do is a variation on this theme. I want you to take this little square, put it someplace where you're going to see it at least 2 or 3 times a day. If you're going to put it in your bathroom, can I suggest that you laminate it first? Okay? Otherwise the color will run. So put it in a place where your eyes are going to see it a couple, 3 times a day. And I want you to focus 1 week at a time on one of those gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to go in order. So between now and next Sunday, I want you to focus on love. Next Sunday, we're going to focus on what's next? Joy. Okay? The week after that?
Peace.
And so on. So one fruit of the Spirit a week. Pray that God will allow you to show this fruit of the Spirit in a very intentional way, in some specific way. And then when we come together for worship, each Sunday for the next 9 weeks, when we come to our morning prayer time, I'm going to ask for a couple people to share a story about how that fruit of the Spirit was shown by you. And believe me, it's okay to brag about this here, okay? I want you to share how you have shown love to someone, okay? Because we're all going to learn from each other. I learned from listening to other people in my small group that there are some really amazing ways that I can show love that I never thought of. Okay? So we're all going to grow together as we show the fruits of the Spirit over the next 9 weeks. Does that make sense? Any questions, comments, feelings, attitudes, opinions, gripes? It covers the gamut, right? I hope they're not. Yes, Kathy, please. You're going to get one before you leave. It's a little colored square, okay? You can grab one from another bulletin before you go. Can you just look at in Marcia's to see what it looks like? Okay? Before you go, I'm going to put one in your hands. Everybody else have one? Okay. By the way, the running joke in our small group was, once we finished our 18-week experience with this, the running joke was, okay, we got that one done. Fruits of the Spirit all accomplished. We are all producing great fruit. Now what? Well, of course, the reality is that I still have the fruits of the Spirit on my desk. And it never ceases to amaze me that just when I think I am the most loving and kind and joyful I can be, that God puts another opportunity in front of me where I need to be all of those things all over again. The fruits of the Spirit, I think, are one crop that needs constant tending, if you know what I mean. So my hope is that this will be part of our spiritual journey together as we all walk with God and try to show the fruit of the Spirit. Make sense? Get it? Good. Let's pray. Lord, you have called us to show the fruit of the Spirit. Sounds pretty easy. Be kind, be loving, be joyful, be peaceful, be self-controlled. Oh Lord, you know us, and you know the challenge that is before us. And we also know that you have said all things are possible with you. So Lord, walk with us as we seek to show the fruit of the Spirit to those around us and invite them into the journey that we are on together. Lord, may your body, which is the church, bear good fruit because of the fruit that we show. We pray in Jesus' name.